One of Russia's last remaining independent media voices appears to be going down, and the State Duma debates a law that would restrict some Russians' right to travel abroad. Hello from our broadcast headquarters in Prague, and welcome to the Power Vertical Briefing, a weekly look ahead at stories we expect to make news this week. My name is Brian Whitmore, host of the Power Vertical podcast here at RFRL. Joining me in the studio is senior RFRL editor Steve Gutterman. Welcome, Steve.
Thanks, Brian.
So, we've seen this movie before, and we kind of know the plot, yeah? After RBK, one of Russia's last remaining independent media outlets, published stories that irked the Kremlin, a criminal case was opened against its owners. And on Friday, RBK sacked its top editors. Independent media has been under assault for years, from Lenta.ru to Dosh to Echo Moskvy. Steve, what's your take on the RBK case? And what does this portend for the remaining independent media voices out there?
Well, it's seems to be clearly kind of RBK is the latest victim of this kind of culling of the media or destruction of independent media that's been going on pretty much since Putin came to power.
With increasing intensity since 2012.
Yeah, I mean, there was the first sort of wave in his first term, and then with TV, and yes, absolutely increasing intensity. I was actually a bit surprised. I mean, in retrospect, that this didn't happen a little bit earlier with RBK, I think. I mean, but you do have, I think in this case, it's pretty straightforward that they angered people in the Kremlin. They were reporting on a couple of taboos, which is Putin's family and Putin's kind of property or his alleged property with this story about the oyster farm near the so-called Putin's palace. And they're reporting about Katerina Tikhonova, who is assumed to be Putin's daughter. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think they were sticking up too much. And especially after the Panama Papers, this kind of, I think there's a heightened sensitivity about kind of financial wrongdoing and hiding property. So, you know, what it pretends for others, there aren't many others left.
Well,
you know,
what's left? There's Viedomosti, which was forced to shed its foreign owners. There's Slon.ru, which is still doing independent journalism. Of course, like I said, Lenta's been tamed. Dosht has pretty much been marginalized.
Right.
Echo Moskvy is still doing its thing, but you get the impression their days are numbered.
Yeah, it could be.
I mean, they're constantly under threat.
Interesting, the Viedomosti, actually, this comment by, they today cited an unnamed official as saying, it's war, what do you want? You know,
right.
The idea being, look, well, it's an information war, and you guys have gone too far. So,
I mean, one of the things I discussed this in the Daily Vertical this morning was that it shows a shift away from governing by consensus. And by that, I mean, yes, there was the media was repressed in Putin's first two terms in the Kremlin, starting with the NTV case, but it was primarily restricted to television.
Right.
And they had these safety valves. They had these, you know, you still have Novaya Gazeta. I don't know how much longer for the world that's going to be. But you had the blogosphere, you had Live Journal, you had Dosh TV, you had all these things that were allowed in the earlier period. And I always saw this as kind of a safety valve, you know.
Yeah.
And the most effective authoritarian governments are those that where the citizens think they're free. And this created the illusion. Now Putin's moving away from that, no?
Yeah, I think that's a very good point. I mean, and I assume or I would guess that there are certain people. I mean, you can see this kind of desire among certain people close to Putin to eliminate any safety valve. I think,
right.
I mean, you had the Bastrykin article and, you know, possibly some of the things that, you know, that are also being done. So I think, you know, that's something that's, whether Putin is driving it or whether he's being driven to some degree, you know, I'm not sure. But yeah, I definitely, that's a very good point.
I mean, there was a debate in the Kremlin towards the end of Dmitry Medvedev's fake presidency, whether to, like, have this kind of managed pluralism situation continue. And I think the events of 2011 kind of killed that idea eventually because this safety valve became, in the eyes of the Kremlin, dangerous at the
right.
end of the day. So,
yeah, absolutely.
Well, shifting to another topic, some Russians may soon lose their right to travel abroad under legislation working its way through the Duma. Lawmakers have passed the first reading of a bill that would prevent Russians who have either been convicted of terrorism or extremism or even received a warning from the FSB related to these things. And we all know how flexible charges of extremism and terrorism can be in Russia. I'll ask a deliberately a provocative question, Steve. Are exit visas on their way back?
Well, I think the answer to that is probably no.
But.
Exactly. Because, I mean, one of the things, if Putin has any, smarts, I mean, one of the things that I think makes him, or that, people like about his rule in Russia is that they've been able to travel more. I mean, obviously, very many Russians can't afford to, but to actually institute exit visas, in my view, would be extremely dangerous. But that said, I think this is looks like a way to just restrict, to restrict the people that they want to restrict from traveling abroad. I mean, as you say, they can be very flexible. And, it does coincide with kind of increasing use of, by the Kremlin of the extremism legislation to go after, people who aren't actually extremists.
Or just opposition.
Yeah, exactly. So, I think this is another sort of instrument to kind of have ways to punish and restrict the people that they want.
Rephrase my question, are we seeing de facto exit visas implemented for oppositionists? Possibly?
Well, right, exactly. I think it's certainly close to that.
So it's something to watch. This, like I said, this legislation's only passed one reading in the Duma. It's still going to pass two more and be signed into law by Putin. But I think we all know that's going to happen. And I think, again, we're going to see the use of these things. I mean, Navalny can't travel, right? He can't travel for different reasons. He can't travel because he's technically under house arrest. But they're going to start. I think they're going to start shutting this off to a lot of people.
And in a way, I mean, it's interesting. You could sort of, if you take to extend it a little bit, you could see it as kind of a new version of the contract. Putin's contract, where he had, you have more spending power, you stay out of politics, you can do what you want. But now that's a little bit faded because of the economic troubles. So now it's like, well, stay out of politics or you can't leave the country.
Or you can't leave the country.
It's a harsher contract.
No, and it's another example of moving to this harder authoritarianism away from the softer and more sophisticated version that we saw from 2000 to 2008. All right, on that note, we'll wrap it up. That's all we have time for today. You have been listening to the Power Article Briefing, a weekly look ahead at the stories making news in Russia. We do this every Monday, so be sure to tune in. I'm Brian Whitmore, host of the Power Article Podcast. Joining me in the studio has been senior RFERL editor Steve Gutterman. Join us again next week. And now, as always, I leave you with the soothing sounds of Noise MC.